This is Street Cred, the show focused on helping clothing brands turn their audience into a community. I'm Elijah Delport. This morning, or today, whenever you're listening to this episode, we have a guest I'm very excited to welcome onto the show. He and I have been some friends. We've been friends for some time now, for the better part, nearly a year, and it brings me great pleasure to welcome a electronic artist. He's in the DJ scene. He does producing. He's very much started in skateboarding when he was young, which makes him the perfect person to start a brand like he has called Undreamed Merch. Please welcome to the show, John. Thanks for joining me.
Hello, everyone.
Can I just say, John, the mask is one of the most amazing things we've ever seen on Street Cred. We've never had someone with a mask, and here you are. You're the first, and I'm so glad you're here wearing the mask.
Yeah, there's a couple of people doing this already, but in streetwear and in music, I've taken this route somehow. I think it's a good decision for me. I feel comfortable like that.
Yeah. I think maybe it's a good place to start the conversation. Like, why are people doing this mask? And I think it's because with social media now, everyone's forced to create something if they want a business. For the most part, like, if you're selling stuff online, you have to build an audience online on social media. And I think that some people just really don't want to show their face. And so they resort to putting on a mask and it becoming their brand, and so they don't have to reveal their identity, and yet they can still have an online presence and have a personality. I don't know, what do you think about it?
I think so. I first saw this in music, and maybe artists like Aphex Twin or Burial. These people don't really show their faces, or Drexia, this t-shirt. And I don't know, it instantly made it more attractive to me and to a lot of people. It's just like there's something about that which actually becomes kind of a selling point. It's like you don't know who they are. Okay, so that's something to start. And then, yeah, it's what if the brand blows up? And I don't want people to recognize me in the street. It's like, it seems like it's not very convenient, you know, at some point. And also in my personal case with the brand, I'm still doing some bootleg stuff. So I don't really want people to know my face, you know, like.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I guess, yeah, that's true. I mean, there are some benefits in that if you're going big with it, well, you might not want everyone knowing your name, or at least not your face. And so, yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, like it started, like, I just remember it starting with Marshmello and people like that, like Marshmello, Deadmau5, like
Deadmau5,
those DJs.
Yeah. Keys, Keys is an old rock and roll band. They used to have like makeup and cover their faces.
Yeah, so. Right. Which I think, like, on that, for them doing it, I think it's one of the smartest business moves I've seen, because I saw this the other day. There's this channel on YouTube called Marshmello Cooking, and it's the Marshmello guy, and it's just, yeah, his cooking show, and he's making shorts, and he's making different dishes, like, you know, pasta and man, I can't think of any other dish than pasta right now, but I'm like, this is great. That's not Marshmello though. There is no way that's actually Marshmello. And but there's no way anyone could know, and that's why it's genius, because they could be swapping this guy out. This guy could die off, and they could have another person come in, and the Marshmello brand is like, he can sell the Marshmello brand. And it could be a different person that there's just a good DJ.
Yeah, that's true.
And it works. And
And also we live in a moment where everything is like too accessible, and somehow you can have a very big artist, which 10 years ago it would have been nearly impossible knowing their day-to-day life, and today they stream, you know, they're cooking in their house and they're streaming, you know, so there's like too much accessibility to people. And so reserving a little bit, it's like, you don't want to show everything, you know.
That makes a lot of sense, John. And plus, I mean, I think this is a big thing for clothing brands. Everyone's so fixated on creating a personal brand. That's all, I swear, it's all I hear at the moment. Some of the conversations that I have every single day are just people, you know, building their personal brands and how do I do that? And it's like, you know, the truth is, like, it's if everything is your personal brand, it becomes something really hard to sell. It's just suddenly not desirable to an investor, because you're irreplaceable. You become irreplaceable as a person. It's like, it has to be you. And so what happens if you're sick? What happens if you're unwell? What happens if you want to do something else? Captain goes down with the ship.
Yeah.
That's problematic. Whereas if you're wearing a mask and the mask becomes your brand and people recognize something you wear instead of, you know, your face or some other attribute, then anyone could put that on and they take on that brand. And then, so it's not so irreplaceable anymore. And so I think it's a great alternative for that anyway,
it's not about me in the end. Like, it's not, the brand is not about me. It's about, you know, the customers. What do they want? The only purpose I fulfill is to try to resolve some of their issues, you know. It's not about
right.
I don't have that necessity, you know, in terms of ego, of like, oh, it's, you know, my brand and me. I don't really care. I'm just trying to make some cool objects, you know, and that's it.
I love when you said that, John. That's just great. Yeah, so look, I actually really want to come back to that, but I think we should start at the top, since most listeners right now are thinking, these guys are having a conversation and I have no idea who John is and what he does and what his brand is. So maybe let's start there. John, could you give us a bit of a summary about who you are, how you got to the place and where you are now and what you're doing now?
Yeah, well, I'm like in my late 30s and I operate in Barcelona, but I'm from somewhere else. And I was this kind of kid who like started skateboarding and playing guitar and painting graffiti from a very early age. So I think I started to skate and got my first guitar at 8. And I was already into like punk and hardcore at that time. Somehow, and like heavy music, blues, just a wide range of art. My parents kind of did a good job with that. And then when I was like 15, I discovered graffiti through, you know, being in a skate park the interest of music led to skateboarding led to graffiti led to raving, and so on. And I've been into like counter cultures my whole life, and then at some point I was like working at like a shitty job, and I was like a little bit depressed, so I would spend most of the time at work just like on Internet Archive, which is a website that it's like a kind of like anarchic internet archive that just have millions of scans of books from any era and any topic. And I would just like kind of download images, like hoarding, you know, in files, like just stuff that I like. And And then one day I thought like, well, this is, I don't know, just, I don't know what I was doing, but I was like really relaxed. And somehow the idea came to me like, oh, you should start an Instagram with all these images that you have. Because at the time there was like some accounts called Graphic Index and Graphic, I don't know, it was like a bunch of accounts who were related to posting daily graphics. So I started a collection of that. And then somehow I thought, well, maybe I could start turning some of these into t-shirts, like, because I've always liked graphic t-shirts. And so basically that's who I am and why I started, you know, doing clothing. It's just a kind of a wide range of like art and subcultures, and as most of it is kind of obscure, I couldn't find like clothing that would represent my taste, or it would be, you know, you would find one t-shirt but it's like vintage and it's very expensive. So yeah, it was a way like for me to do my own clothing, and then, you know, also selling it to people who are also in that position, you know. And the whole idea of the brand is to make or put out designs that if you are a super fan of that thing, you're just not going to be able to resist to get it, because it's like so undreamed, you know, in a way. Like, it wasn't, nobody ever thought there was going to be merch of that, you know. So yeah, that was the idea. So
that is a fantastic concept. I've been speaking about that, I think, a lot recently on the show, about making a brand for the 1%. And I think you summed it up in that last thing you said about making a brand for the super fans. It's like, wait, for you and for Undreamed Merch, you have a design or a design concept that's so niche that there's like a very small subset of people that really care about it. But those subset of people have never seen anything like it on the market before, because everyone else is too broad, because everyone else or is specifically in something else. It's just that specific. And so for that very specific person, it becomes the no-brainer. It becomes a no-brainer selling point.
Yeah, that's the idea. It's like, so my mother's husband, he had his birthday like 2 weeks ago, and he's a helicopter pilot. And I know from talking to him from so many years, I know he likes a specific helicopter that has like two set of
propellers.
Yeah.
Propeller.
I don't remember the name now. So I downloaded like the planes and the exploded view and the planos. I don't know how do you say that?
Like the blueprint, like the floor plan or something like that. Yeah.
And I did like a t-shirt with like front and back and like on the sides, and it had the name of it. So that's like super specific to helicopter pilots. Like, of course, I'm not selling that t-shirt, but it's like, that's to illustrate my example. So if you are a helicopter fighter, pilot, and you know, you kind of like that helicopter, if you see that t-shirt, it's going to be like, I need it. Like, cause
yeah.
So that's,
did you show him? Like, what? Did you show him the t-shirt?
I sent it to him on the mail. And he was like, what? Like, how did you knew this? And like, this is amazing. Like, this is for me. Like,
exactly. And that's the reaction that I feel like so many clothing brands desire. They don't know how to get, and they miss out on. It's like the reaction of the customers going, what? This is amazing. This is like, this is for me. This is the brand I've been waiting for. That's the words that should come out of their mouth when they see your brand. It's like, this is the brand I've been waiting for. And I love that, like, that is what this pilot has said about this piece, about this shirt. And
yeah,
man, I think he'd really appreciate you for that. Hey,
yeah. It's, I mean, in the end, that's I think that's what you need to do, is like pay attention to what your customers want. It's not, it's hard to do, of course.
Yeah.
But I mean, you can always like see that Instagram is fucking amazing. Like you can go to your follower lists and click one by one and see what they do. Like you can see their life, you know, like if you do that, like seriously, you can grab a lot of information. Like
John, you're sharing the things that most people aren't willing to do. And you know what? The reason why is they won't click on every individual account and the people that follow them, because they tell themselves, but I can't do this when I have way more followers. And I can't do this when there's so many people. I can't spend hours and hours a day. Okay, but like you could do 10, you could do 15, you could do 20. And even if not then, you can do it now, because right now you've got a small following, like, dear listener, right? So I like, John, please like tell, like, can you share a bit more about like what, like from a, it's what would you call it? Like a technique, a strategy, I don't know, something from that thing where you're going into people's accounts and you're looking at their, like, what are the things you're looking for? What are you, like, what do you think the real benefit is, and how do you use that information?
I mean, I'm not doing it right now. I did it with a previous, with another account, with the graphic reference account, and with my own music project account, and with other clients that I work with, as a community manager or stuff like that. It's you always want to know what your customer persona is, and so you would want to know, you know, an average of age, or an average of gender. What do they do on the daily basis? What are they? Where do they hang out? Like, what type of like posts do they do? Especially if like if you can see, what do they buy? People post what they buy. And yeah, you don't need to do all of your followers. You can do like a subset of like 50 accounts, and that would tell you a lot. Like, and
yeah,
it's not really that hard, to be honest. It's actually pretty wild that you can do that. Like, it's like in terms of privacy, you know, but it's out there, and I mean, people post their lives there, so you know, people are willing to
have. I've never even considered doing that, like, and that benefit, but that is a very smart strategy. Cause you're right. People post their lives on there. You can learn a lot about a person. I think it's actually like, if people knew how much information they had about there on themselves, like even me, like it would surprise them. It would surprise me about like what people could find out about who you are and what you do. Cause I mean, I think for the most part, we're fairly careless with information and letting it be out there on the internet.
I mean, you don't even need to do it with your followers. What you can do is like, this is something I do, but it's also that's pretty organic as well. It's like, okay, I log in the morning, I see a bunch of people follow me, I always check who they are. If it's private, well, if it's someone that really resonates with me, I follow them back, so I'm already in the loop. I'm already seeing what they do. Like,
yes,
with some of them I might even chat. Like, it's like with some of them I might even like leave a comment. So you have to be in tune with them. You have to be one of, well, not necessarily be one of them, but you need to be in tune with them to see what do they need, and see if you can resolve that, you know.
Yeah. Look, yeah, I used to do this thing where, so I was building a community. You know, my niche is like clothing brands, and I was building a community of clothing brands when I first started it. And so I was wanting to grow this, and I was looking at like looking for growth strategies probably, you know, 7-8 months ago now. And so what I did is I, every new person that followed me, I sent them a message. I sent every single one a message, and it was to introduce myself and ask them a question with the one goal to start a conversation. And people were really surprised that I messaged them when they followed me, because no one else messages them when they hit follow. And so it actually made them feel really special. And for the most part, people responded. And so I'd say, you know, something along the lines of, you know, hey, I'm Elijah. I saw you recently followed me. How long have you been in the fashion game for? And we'd start a conversation. And from there, I was able to invite them to my, you know, free community, and they could come and engage with some other brand owners too. But I think like these kind of high effort, high engagement strategies are really worth it in the beginning. They're really, really worth it, where you're looking at every single account that follows you and taking notes and looking for patterns and seeing the kind of like, what are the patterns between all these people? What are they all interested in? What are the things, like, who are the people do they follow? And what are the things that they're posting? What are the things that they like to see? And messaging every single one, every single person that follows you. Like, man, if I was a clothing brand with under 1,000 followers, that I would absolutely be doing that. I'd be trying to create a relationship with every single person that followed me. Why? Because like in the beginning, you can, and those people, you increase their likelihood of becoming buyers if you create like you build a relationship with them in the beginning. Yeah. Even the fact that like I hear a lot of people talking about like, I don't know how to, like a lot of people don't know how to make their brand, like give their brands personality and that kind of thing. And they're like, well, we don't know how to just not appear like a company because we're selling clothing. And how do we not just sell the clothing and that's all we post about? And like we could talk about all this brand identity stuff and like creating community brands and like whatever. And, but like, even before then, you've got a personality yourself. Why not just send them a message and start like engaging with them? Like you're just you. Cause you are you.
Well, how would I make it more personal? Well, be a person. Just like, yes. So two things about that is, imagine you live in a level street, you know, your house is at a level street and your windows are huge and everyone can see from your, you know, from outside, and there's this one new dude who's like outside your house like this watching you. Wouldn't you go and say hello, how are you, like thank you for showing up? Of course. Well, every new follower is just like a person in your house, like watching you like this. It's like, so it's like, almost kind of natural that you will be like, hey, you know, what's up? Welcome, or fuck off, or whatever you want to say. And then the other thing is like, I cannot give you like the exact study name or whatever, but I saw this one thing about, there was this study about why, so there's this commonality among people who are ascended in their jobs. Mm-hmm. And the commonality was that they do small talking. So the person who does more small talking in an office has more chances to be, you know, ascended to a higher position.
Interesting.
And
that wouldn't be me because I hate small talk, man. I cut straight to the interesting bit of a conversation.
so that means that there's something about, you know, making these touch points, social touch points with people that make you more memorable. And then from that on, something else could happen, you know?
Yeah. I think it like there are some very simple, small things that small brands can do that just make it so easy to beat every other small brand out there right now. And it's because then they're just not doing it. And it's like on what you're saying, it's like the small talk in the office space. The small talk is such a simple thing. And people that rise in the ranks in their workplace, you know, you'd think that it's because of, I don't know,
some, yes.
like, 100 other reasons, right? You know, they're a good public speaker, or it's like, no, it's the thing that no one thought that actually allowed them to rise to in their career. And mm-hmm. I think it's much the same. Like, everyone's creating great products nowadays. That's not a selling point. I always say this all the time. That's not a point of difference. There's nothing special about your product from every other product out there. So do the things that other brands aren't willing to do, like messaging your members, like following, you know, like messaging your members. Heck, I meant followers, but let's call them members, right? Because we're building a community here, right? Like, message your followers and build relationships and do things that you can't scale. Do things that you can't scale. And heck, man, like that kind of stuff pays off. And look, John, I'd love you to share, because like some of the things that you're doing to build a community are just awesome. Like, I love following your page, and I love like watching what you're doing. And you give me a lot of ideas on this kind of stuff. And I'm going to be honest with you, John. I use your ideas all the time. I speak about your ideas all the time. I spoke about something like, you know, a while ago, and I have many times since, about the idea of a common enemy. And it's not that you came up with it, John, but like you saying common enemy in my community. And I'm like, that's great. I'm going to use that. Sorry if you don't mind, man.
Yeah, the common enemy is good. There's this another one that I heard, and is that you should tie your product to a location or a use case. So in my case, it would be the dance floor or a festival. You know, that would be very, very specifically for me. So. And then now I have this idea, okay, I'm going to go with my analog camera, and like every time I go out, I'll try to wear one of my t-shirts, and then, you know, so I can tie my product to that emotion. So I know, so people will know it serves that need in that kind of moment. And
that's fantastic.
Trying to try it. I saw it in a reel, you know, like, and there's so much education you can have just for free on like reels and stuff, like what you do. And there's like a lot of people doing, and just try to pay attention to that and try to put them in use, you know? And it's actually a great time to like, there's resources everywhere. That maybe it's also the worst part. So something I wanted to say, like when you say people don't want to do this, it's like, I know people don't do it. And I also sometimes don't do stuff that I know I should be doing, because there is so many resources. So this is good thing about the era that we live. There is so many resources and everything's almost free. And then that's also like a double-edged sword, which is you get paralyzed and you're not messaging your followers and you're not checking out what they do, because you're watching another reel and another reel and another reel of resources and different ways to do this. And at some point you need to put the phone down and put your ass in the fucking chair and do the boring work, you know? So That's the problem with the era that we live. We have a lot of resources, but maybe too much. So,
yeah, overconsumption is a real thing.
Paralyzed. You get paralyzed from options and not knowing which one is the best of those resources. You know,
do you have any useful tips that have helped you in the areas of consuming education and not becoming paralyzed or fighting against paralysis when it comes?
Yeah, I made a big change. I started paying an app that blocks my Instagram.
That's amazing. I love that.
That's what I'm doing. So right now I'm paying, it's the big one, the big app. I don't want to say the name because I don't know. But yeah, so I can only use my Instagram from like 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. So while I eat, and then, and then my real daily reel posting, which is like from 5 to 8 in the afternoon, and then that's it. So that's and I since I've done that, I even use it less. So not even all those times. And so that made me not wake up and start scrolling, and then 2 hours have passed by, and then I'm like all fucking confused and like overstimulated, and
yeah.
And so that's it. I just have an hour to check it in the morning, see how the post from last night went, maybe answer a couple of messages, repost a story or something, and close it. And then in the afternoon, I just see what I want to post, edit it, post it, do a little bit of engagement, and I'm out. Because otherwise, it starts becoming a detriment, you know?
Yeah.
No, that's yes. My tip. That's the best thing I've done.
No, that's
so far.
No, that's great. That's fantastic. Yeah, it's something I'm very passionate about because it's something I'm fairly good at. Like the whole screen time thing, I've always been fairly good at it. And however, there have been times that I haven't. There have been times that it's been horrible and I've had to really clamp down to get a hold of it, because it's one of those things that you can waste your life. And that's no understatement. That is no understatement. Like there are people right now that are very literally wasting their lives. These are real days. This is real time that they're spending on these apps. And I don't think, like, the moment we overlook that truth is the moment that we fall back into it. And then we fall and then it becomes a problem again, because it's like, oh, what's the big deal? It's like, no, the big deal is this is your life. This is real time. You've got limited days and you're spending those limited days on useless, and wasteful practices that doesn't make you feel good, and that doesn't leave you at, like, sometimes, heck, that you're right, Neil, you're right, John, there's like a lot of education out there, and like sometimes I can be scrolling and I don't leave more educated than I came, if anything probably less. But yeah. Anything probably less. And so I think it's an important one. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and you're going to see some resources for your business, but you're also going to see a huge amount of really emotionally triggering stuff that it's just draining your creativity, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So... And can we talk about comparison?
Yeah.
I don't know if you found this to be an issue on, like, using social media a lot. But I have a lot of conversations with people that are getting really discouraged because they see another brand that has been selling for a fraction of the time that they have, that's been around for a fraction of the time, and they have double the audience or something like that. And it discourages them. Same effect. It paralyzes them from doing something. I don't know. Like, is there something, like, I've had the same problem. Is that something you've ever?
Yeah, no, I had this. I have it not in the past few months, but I've had it before. Maybe, that when you don't know, I mean, it's like, how is this account? Maybe they've been doing it for years. Also, but you're like, how is it so huge? Like, you, and
yeah,
My conclusion right now is, first of all, it doesn't really matter because they're there, they're they and you are you. And then you don't really know what's going on behind.
True. That's
you
right.
You don't know. You don't know if they have a VC. You don't know if their parents are rich. You don't know if they had, did they, I don't know, maybe one of them plays in a band and he knows a bunch of people and, you know, like that's how they got big. Or you don't know if the followers are fake. You know, you don't know anything pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go there and try to investigate, but it's not the best use of your time, to be honest. So,
right. And I think if nothing fruitful is coming from it, from looking at that and from observing accounts like that, heck, John, I had to unfollow some. I had to unfollow some accounts.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, that's the truth. I just unfollow and problem solved. I mean, that's it. You're like, I don't remember who they are. I don't even remember who I unfollowed. They're gone. Like, they are yesterday. And like, I'm better for it. Like, I'm more productive for it. And I'm happier for it. And that's important. Like, I think, like, we overlook this, John, that, like, approaching our work with passion and joy. And because I think, like, people notice that. People notice that when you create stuff and when you have conversations and stuff like this, it's like, oh, like you've got a little, you know, jump in your step. It's like you actually like what you do. It's like, yeah, I love this. This is great. Like having, like sitting down with you, John, like having this podcast and doing this show. Like, we're just talking about what we love to do. Like, I think joy.
I think for you to be like a healthy creator, you need to limit your social media time.
Yes.
But I mean, 80% of your time has to be you creating, or if you need to go to the gym before creating, then do so, whatever you have to do to get yourself in the mental space. And then 20% of the time has to be like, you know, posting and engagement. But after that, you know, it's just, it's a place to showcase your stuff. That's it.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, there is content there that you will learn, but again, you can fall into these traps. So I would say 30 to 20% of your day only has to be on social media. Then you have to be trying to shut all the noise down so you can hear yourself and create, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of my balance. I would, if I would be perfect, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think this has helped someone. John, I hope you don't mind if we make a little pivot. I know that a while ago, that with your brand Undreamed Merch, you created a Discord community.
Yeah,
and a lot of brand owners are going to be listening to this and going, what the heck? This guy created a Discord community. Some are going to have their finger on the pulse. They're going to know what's going on. They're like, oh, this is smart. Others are going to be like, why? Like, I don't even know. Like, is that a project you've been actively working on, or is it kind of just in the background?
I'd open it and I left it there and I wanted to see what happened. If there was some way that people can find it, and the question is no. So you need to make people go there. And I haven't really find the time to do it, but it's there. I don't know. I might do it at some point. I also like to like reserve my handle, you know, like, so
yes,
whenever there's a new channel, I try to, you know, go there and like have,
no, so that's
I
can a good have point.
My name, you know, then I'll see. Because I remember I did that with Twitter a long time ago with like my personal one, and I have my handle, which is now people probably want it, you know, like, but it's like I got it. It's mine. It's for you. So it's good to go to platforms and be first, because you're never gonna know what's gonna happen. But
Yeah.
No, I haven't invited people there, and yeah,
I'd love it. Like, even though like it's not a real active project at the moment, heck, who knows? Maybe maybe will be one day soon. But I'd love you, John, to share with listeners some of the thoughts and ideas that you had for this community, if you'd be open to it. Because I know, like, especially with customer feedback, that was a big one. Like, I talk about the benefits of community often. It's like where your customers can make friends with each other. They're more devoted to your brand, therefore, where you can release exclusive clothing to this community space. But I hadn't even considered, John, this customer feedback thing. So I mean, could you touch on that?
So this comes because you made a post about communities being probably the next step for social media,
yes,
building of brands, and the idea was to do, instead of one too many, to do many too many, right? So
yes, correct.
I'm,
yes,
having like, so I went and
one too many, by the way, dear listener, one too many being your Instagram, you're one person and you're one company posting to many followers. Many to many being those many followers interacting and posting to those many followers. It's a community space. Sorry, John, yeah, continue.
So the thing is, I'm old enough to having been like browsing the internet before Instagram arrived. And so there was a lot of interaction in forums. Like, there was forums dedicated.
Yeah.
So I remember there was this, I don't know if you're familiar with the music style called dubstep.
Yes. So yes, familiar.
Before dubstep. Yeah. So before dubstep kind of went mainstream, it was kind of a very underground thing, especially in London. And there was this thing called dubstep forum, and that's where you would find people and mixtapes and online radios. And if you were moving to a new city and you wanted to enjoy a dubstep night, that's how you would hang out. So I remember that kind of way of interacting in the internet before it was one to many, or one to one, which is Instagram messages. So, and I remember that being very much like a community. Like, it's, you know, it's maybe Reddit has that still.
I think so. Reddit's pretty big still. I don't think, like, they've got a very big following among those.
Yeah,
that
but,
enjoy.
But you have the upvotes thing, which, you know, it leads to, you know, people being witty for being witty, and, you know. Yeah. It makes
gotta get upwards.
It makes something to have that. Everything is a, you know, every little change makes people behave different. In a normal True. Forum, you wouldn't have that, and people would just try to collaborate. Otherwise, well, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the idea of having a Discord channel for your brand, you could use that to see what people are talking about, and then getting ideas from that. And also, obviously, apart from the profit, you want to engage in that. I mean, I like going to record stores and talking to strangers who are there about music. And if you go to a skate park, you would, you know, maybe you go to skate alone and you would end up talking to someone, you know, about their board or their wheels or how this ramp is harder than the other. And an internet forum is kind of, it facilitates that type of interaction more than Instagram, you know?
Yes.
So that's why we were talking about that. And I think it could be something to pay attention to in the future, because at some point, like, the Instagram model is going to collapse, and TikTok, you know. Well, TikTok, yeah. I don't even think it's good to sell clothing, but anyway, that's my opinion.
Yeah, Yeah, they're very feeble. TikTok especially is quite a feeble platform, I think. But yeah, so one thing I want to point out from what you say, John, because I love everything you're saying, is that these everything that you've mentioned, like you've got these dubstep forums, or you've got people that you talk to at a record store, or people at a skate park. The thing that is common about all these examples, they're all different communities, but it's that everyone inside of these individual communities is unified by a common idea or identity. The dubstep people are interested in dubstep. The record people are maybe musicians, or they just like records. And the skaters, they skate. Like, and I think that's the key to community that I think so many brands miss. It's like they want to build a community, but they don't know what they're building a community about, or they don't know what they're building a community around. It's fundamental that people don't gather for no reason. People don't gather for no reason. There's always if there's a gathering of people, there is always a reason. There's always a commonality. There's a common trait, or there's a agreed upon a foundation for this community. So I think it's the role of the brand. If anyone's listening and thinking, man, this community thing sounds good. I can get customer feedback. My audience can make friends with each other. They'll be more devoted. They'll be more loyal to the brand. All these things are true. And you need to start with thinking, what is my community about? What is it about? What are people gathering for? Because I'm sorry, no one, I really don't think that people are going to gather just because of your brand. Or if they do, it's not going to be as effective. You know, I think, and what am I getting at here? It's that you need to have like a very clear brand identity or lifestyle, like Andre merch, John, where it's fringe subcultures, and we're talking about music, and we're talking about collecting, and we're talking about like vinyl, and like all of these kind of sub ideas. The people that are in your community are those that care about these things. So, anyway.
I mean, imagine I'm following this guy on Instagram who's like he's a painter, but he doesn't really he's it seems the painting thing is not going really well, and he somehow started to do criticism of other people's painting. People submit to him, and
Oh.
he charges a fee to getting this draw, and then if you're selected, you get a critic reel of some of your work. And some of the criticism, one of the best ones, that he's very witty. He's like, you know how to paint. He tells to a guy, you know how to paint, you know how to draw, everything's perfect, but this doesn't tell me anything. And if you do a brand which the design is, you know, it's perfect, it's beautiful, the fabric is, you know, whatever, reflective, thermal, whatever, but you're not saying anything. It's just like a pretty drawing, but it has no substance, you know, like it doesn't have any emotion, any communication, any idea. So that's you need to have something. You need what are you saying? What are you communicating? You know, what are you what is the community about? What like what is the common thing about these people? Those are all questions you need to do. Otherwise, it's just gonna be a pretty piece of cloth with some nice typography and colors, and that's it.
That was
That's still hard to do. That doesn't mean that that's easy. It
yeah.
means that you need a little bit more of substance behind that to communicate with people.
John, that was the biggest gem of the episode. You summed it all up, my friend. That was amazing. Oh, I love it. Yeah. And look, I think we're about to wrap up. But just before we do, and heck, maybe you have nothing to say on this, but in case, I want to give the opportunity, John, for you to share one story that comes to mind that encapsulates or summarizes your experience building a community or the benefit or something, you know, when, like, while you've been building this community around your clothing brand, something you go like, yeah, this is it. Is there anything, any story that comes to mind?
I think the daily effort, daily posting. I think that's the key. That was the key for me. And that's something we started doing with you. You put me into this challenge of how many weeks was it?
I don't know, like 12 or something.
Yeah. 12? So 12, one reel per day for 12 weeks. And yeah. I pretty much didn't stop after that. Today, I haven't done that. Today, I haven't posted because I went to work on some new stuff that I'm going to be putting on the store, but I cannot say what it is, but yeah, there was a big reason, you know. But tomorrow I'm going to post too, so I'm going to, you know, it's always doing the same thing every day. That's something I would say it's a tip, you know, like if you do that, there's some days you're not going to want to do it. Just do it. Just do the barely minimum. And then next day, you know,
yeah,
just keep repeating, keep being out there. This comes from graffiti, you know, like you need to get up, you know, and people need to see your name. So
yeah,
just bomb it, you know, boom, 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 repetition every day. It doesn't matter if it's a product post or a community post or just do it every day. That's my main, you know, giveaway. And then mindset, probably just try to stay positive. And sometimes it's gonna sound delusional, you know. So just be delusional if you have to. Just don't do anything stupid, you know. Don't put your whole life saving into a collection or something like that. But just be positive, you know, and if the time frame is long enough, you're gonna make it. Like if you're trying to make $1 million in 1 year, you know, it's gonna be hard. But if you're trying to make it in 10 years, you know, it'd be more doable. So if you don't quit, then you know, right, it's gonna happen somehow, some way.
And think about it like this: $1 million in 10 years is $100,000 a year. Most people would be happy as anything with that.
Yeah.
And doesn't, not to say that you're going to make $100,000 every year leading up to the million, but maybe to say that, you know, 1 year you'll make $50,000 and the next you'll make 200 and the next you'll make 500 and the next you'll make, you know, whatever. And there's your million, right?
Yeah. So, and even if you make $100 1 year and the next year you make 10,000, then that, you know, so be ready to be optimistic every day and know that it's going to be hard. But, you know, you need to do both, you know that it's going to be hard because there's going to be hard moments. And then always try to be positive and, you know, be delusional if you have to be delusional. Think you're going to do it. Somehow you're going to do it, you know, and keep going.
I love it. I love it. Oh, John, this was such a pleasure. It's the morning where I am right now, and I'm so ready for the day after this. It's just like
hyped up. So good. I'm going to go to sleep.
Yeah, you're going to sleep. This is what happens. And I'm just like,
I'm hyped up right now also.
Hey, before you go, I mean, you know, John, and many of the listeners know that I'm building a community of my own for brand owners. And I'd love you, John, to please share what benefit, if any, this community space has been for you. Should listeners join? Why and why not?
Yeah, you should join because, well, first of all, there's like-minded people that will hype you up if you need to be hyped up, you know, like if you're feeling a bit low. We have I'm part of that community as well, the 365, and then, you know, sometimes people post, I think you posted, I'm not feeling really good today.
I have
try to do the bare minimum, you know, go like, so that kind of thing. And then, so that helped me a lot. And then, the exercises that we've done, they helped me, you know, gain a lot of clarity on what I wanted to do and what was my brand about. And yeah, I think just being in contact with people that are doing the same thing than you, it's amazing. And yeah, I would recommend it. Those were my takeaways. I mean, the support and, you know, the conversations that we had, you obviously know what you're talking about. So, you know, you gave me your pieces of, you know, your nuggets, and I took on from there. So a lot of people can benefit from that.
Thank you so much for those kind words, John. So you heard the man. Links in the description. You can join. It's totally free. But John, this has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on the show and having a great conversation with me. You have a great night, my friend.
Thank you. Have a great morning, and bye-bye to everyone listening, and follow me.
Ciao.
Ciao.